Today's reading is from Matthew 12, 9 through 12. Please turn to Matthew 12, 9 through 12 in your Bible, or turn to page 792 in the Bibles provided. Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." You may be seated, and children may go to children's church.
Well, there's a reason we have lawyers. And I remember when I was in elementary and I heard stories from the wild 60s that you had to wear a tie to school. You know, at one time, if you got in an airplane, everybody wore a jacket and tie if you were a guy. Well, that's what the rule said. If you went to the student handbook, it said you had to wear a tie. And so some creative students came up with this. They wore a tie. They just didn't wear it around their neck. I'm sure the principal wanted to hang them with it. But they followed what the handbook said. They were wearing a tie. And then there's the brilliant Calvin and Hobbes. The young man is filthy, dirty, and the mom says, "Get up in that tub." And he says, "Well, I'm going to follow exactly what mom said." And she goes, so he jumps in the tub. And mom goes, "I want to hear water running." Because see, she didn't say that at first. Any sane person knows if you get in a tub, what's the use? You're not going to take a nap. But you know, if you're a four-year-old kid, you like to stay dirty. And if mom said just jump in the tub, that's what you're going to do. Let's bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we as a society, as a church, we often struggle with the words that you've given us. Sometimes they are difficult, Lord. Lord, sometimes they do prove difficult to understand. Other times, Lord, it's not so much how difficult they are, it's how we totally misrepresent them and even change them, Father. Lord, let us truly follow your heart. Let us truly seek to understand your message of mercy and grace. Never forgetting what you've told us, not that we ignore it, that we live out the spirit of what you've given us. We pray this in your holy name. Amen and amen. Jesus Christ, his story in the book of Matthew, demonstrating his work from the Sermon on the Mount as he goes out and ministers. He sends his disciples out, and now he's about his Father's business, and he is Lord of the Sabbath. And what exactly does that mean? Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 12. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." Now, the Pharisees are a group of religious leaders. There were other groups. There was the Sadducees. There were the Essenes. But the Pharisees were very popular. And many of them were God-fearing. But many of them also gotten caught up in basically a self-righteous fundamentalism. And it's the Sabbath. And on the Sabbath, you're not supposed to work. And then what defines work? Because, well, there's just some things you got to do. And in fact, the Pharisees had written different groups, the rabbis had written different rules, and there was probably 39 activities that were not allowed on the Sabbath, so you didn't break it. God wasn't that specific, but the rabbis and Pharisees were. In fact, I remember reading an article in Discover magazine about very Orthodox Jews today and what counts as work on the Sabbath. Because see, now you got to incorporate electronics. Is Facebook work on the Sabbath? What about your cell phone? What about Zoom meetings? See, you know, when Moses came down from the mountains, they didn't have to worry about Zoom and iPads. Well, how do you incorporate some of that stuff? Well, the Pharisees said, let's just outlaw it all. And the Sabbath was supposed to be a time of rest. It was the seventh day. God had created everything. The heavens and the earth, the animals, plant life, and mankind. And then he ceased from operations. We use the word rest as, you know, God needed rest, but it means to cease and enjoy what you've done. And God gave that to the people of Israel, to give everyone a time to stop and rest and worship God. You see, as a society, many societies are so work-oriented, we would never stop. There are some bosses that think, what's wrong with a seven-day work week? If I could work 8 days in the seven, I would do it. And God's like, no, you need to stop and rest. And that was the purpose, to rest, take a break from the daily activities, to worship and meditate on God. And you weren't supposed to harvest. You see, in a sense, technically, taking some grain off the plant and eating it is harvesting. Now, I don't think that's exactly what God meant, but technically, that's what they were doing. And so Jesus, having to deal with this, responds. He answered, haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread. In the temple, they'd set bread aside, holy bread, and no one but the priests were to eat it, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. David was on the run, running from Saul. And him and his men were hungry, famished. You just couldn't stop. As you're running from Saul out into the wilderness, there wasn't a stop and go or a jump start. We'll take 4 fig cakes and a gallon of grape juice. You couldn't do it. They're famished. And the priest feeds them. And it's wrong. And see, David's pointing back to that story. It wasn't like God said, oh, David, how dare you? And Jesus is the son of David. He refers back to that to explain what's going on here. And yeah, technically it was wrong, but people were starving. What's more important? Ooh, I'm sorry you're starving, but this is set aside bread. You think that's what God wanted? Oh yeah, I'm glad people are starving so that my bread stays consecrated. That was never the intent and the purpose. But it wasn't to be casual. It was to have a special purpose and a special meaning. And then he goes on. Or have you read in verse 5 that the law that the priests on the Sabbath's duty, their duty in the temple, desecrated the Sabbath. And yet they were innocent. See, they weren't supposed to work. It's a funny thing. While everybody else is resting the Sabbath, the priests need to do their job. So technically, they were breaking the Sabbath. Well, God's like, no, the people have to work. It's not this rigid legal fundamentalism. And then Jesus says, you know, they're in the temple. The bread's in the temple. The priests are there. And I tell you that something that is greater than the temple is here. Now, if the Pharisees were upset because they were harvesting on Sabbath, which they weren't really doing, how upset are they going to be when they say something that someone greater than the temple is here? Because Jesus was saying, that's me. I'm greater than the temple. In other words, he's saying he's God. He's Lord of the Sabbath. He dictates what's okay. He's the one in control. The temple, the bread, The restrictions on Sabbath all pointed forward to Christ, and he's here. And it's fulfilled in him. Not abolished, fulfilled. And he goes then in verse 7. He goes, I tell you that something greater than the temple is here, referring to himself, verse 7. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. Now, he's obviously referring to him and his disciples because he's like, we're not harvesting. We're about the work of our Lord, like the priests. Because the disciples are with Jesus. We don't know exactly what they're doing. But they need to eat. They're out doing the work of the Lord like the priests. They're out in many ways fighting the enemy. The Pharisees like David running from Saul. And he goes, we're innocent. And I desire mercy, not sacrifice, is what God's word says. God's not against sacrifice. But the whole purpose of sacrifice, the sacrificial system from the Old Testament, and even sacrificing to advance the kingdom of God, the whole purpose is to bless other people, to bring them to the Lord, a forgiveness of sins. It's merciful. And if you take away the mercy and grace from it, what good is the sacrifice? It's kind of like cooking a meal for somebody and then not letting them eat it. But I cooked you a meal, and doesn't it smell good? But you don't deserve the meal. Could you imagine traveling 500 miles to go home to family, and there's wonderful food, and it's all made? Yeah, but you don't deserve it. No. Yeah, they never did. Actually, they never did deserve it. But by grace and mercy, it's given to them. But the letter of the law is, no, the sacrifice is what's important. And you got to follow all these rules because that's what you're supposed to do. This goes back to Hosea 6:6. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. He's saying, if you did all the ritual, you go to church on Sunday morning, you wear the right clothes, you get a good suit, you do it all. And then you're mad when you get there because somebody's sitting in your seat and they're new. Or you didn't like what I preached. Or, you know, why is that person in the choir and wearing that and doing this? And, you know, her voice is kind of squeaky. I mean, there's nothing wrong. Oh, I don't wear a tie. I wear a jacket. I mean, I want to look good up, but there's nothing wrong with having a little dress code. But everybody's a little different. And if you came from a church where the pastor wore a tie, and then you come here and I don't, or you came from a church where the pastor wore an Hawaiian shirt, and now you come here and I wear a jacket, you're like, he's just a little too uptight. Where I came from, we wore a Hawaiian shirts. And God's like, yeah, I don't think you get it. Nothing wrong with Hawaiian shirts. Rick Warren wears them. I'll never do that. I'll probably never wear a tie. I do. If you want to see a tie, Christmas Eve, Good Friday, or die. Let's go with the first two, not the last. Just a suggestion. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt. He's not against burnt offerings. He's not against sacrifice. But it's a priority. You do those because you love God, not because you just have to. It's like parents want their kids to do their chores and to do their work. But what if a kid just did their chores and did their work and then were angry? It's like, I just do it. And you know, parents like, I want you to do it because you care, because you love me. And then he goes in verse 8, for the Son of Man is the Lord of Sabbath. He's greater than the temple. Now he's Lord of the Sabbath. He's saying, I'm God. I am the one who dictates what's right and wrong. The Old Testament, I'm building on it. I'm not abolishing it. I'm explaining it fuller. And I'll give you the details. That's not harvest. We're out and about doing the Lord's work, and we need to eat just like David. The temple priests work, and so are we, and we eat just like them. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ. He's not bound by the Sabbath. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. They want to bind him to the Sabbath. They care more about the written rules than the man, Christ. And Jesus is like, you got it all backwards. And going from that place, he went into their synagogues. A synagogue was a place that you had the temple. There's only one temple. But there were numerous synagogues where the people would meet locally. It's kind of like a church. And a rabbi would teach. And they did things backwards. The rabbi sat and the people stood. I think we need to get back to that. And there's some people, I mean, could you imagine if some of those people showed up today, you're doing it all backwards, I can't go to your church. Because they're just locked into that. But a synagogue is where the people met, the rabbi taught, and he went into their synagogues, and there's a man with a shriveled hand there. Now, it's still the same day. It's still Sabbath. Sabbath starts on Friday night and goes till Saturday night. See, we think the day starts in the morning with sunrise when you get up. To them, the day started with sunset. So Sabbath started with Friday night sunset. And a man with a shriveled hand was there, looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus. Look, they're mad. He says he's God. He's better in the temple. He's Lord of the Sabbath. And they don't like that. And they're not following him around because they want to see a miracle. They're just looking for a reason to put him down. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus. They asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And you know what they're thinking? No! That's why? That's work. Now maybe for you and I it's work. Or the orthopedic surgeon's work. Technically, I don't know if it's work for Jesus or not. But no matter how it's done, that's work. It's like harvesting by eating some grain. So this was a setup. They think they're setting Jesus up. Little do they know, they're the ones that are being played. And they're about to get caught. And so my question to you, is it legal? I mean, technically, let's think about it. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. Okay, it talks about David and his men eating the bread. It talks about the priests working. But this is just, can it wait till Monday? Well, in their case, Sunday. Can it wait? So is it legal? Does it matter? So can we just ignore the letter of the law? The letter of the law versus the spirit of the law. And Jesus never said it's okay to break the law. He was not a lawbreaker, like let's just throw all this stuff out. But he got what the purpose of the law was. See, there was a purpose to it. It wasn't just to bind you up and make you OCD about are you doing it right. For instance, if you ever saw an ambulance going down the highway, they're running with sirens and they're going hot and they're going faster. So let's say you're speeding down 169 at 75. Not that you would ever do it. This side of the room does. And then you see the ambulance, you pull over, and they blow by at 90. Well, they're breaking the speed. Well, we know, we've worked it in, that that's okay. But what if your wife's pregnant, and you want to get down to Owosso? Or you're in Nawata, you want to get up to the Coffeyville Hospital. And so your foot's a little heavy on the gas. And the cop pulls you over. I'm sorry, I know she's giving birth right now, but you were doing 75 and a 65, and that's illegal. So you think the law was written so that people would have to give birth on the highway? That was the whole purpose. Hey, let's make the speed limit 65 so that babies are born in the ditch. You have to pull over. Yeah, let's do that. I think that's a great idea. My guess is the police officer would hook it around, put the sirens on, and give you an escort in, not a ticket. But he's breaking the law. And you know, just because you're a police officer doesn't mean you get to break the law. Because I've known some police officers who did, and they paid the price. But no judge in their right mind would condemn them. You see, sometimes we want to follow the law so hard, or we think we do. We come up with rules to make sure we do. Like, here's the thing. Here's what the rabbis did. They call it putting a fence. If you're not supposed to touch this, well, let's say here, this. You're not supposed to touch this. Okay, so they'd say don't touch. Well, just to be careful, we're going to build a fence out here so you can't even get close. But my stuff's in there. Tough. The fence is here. You can't go inside the fence. Well, the law was never that you couldn't go inside the fence. The law was you couldn't touch this. Yeah, but we got a fence here now, so you can't even get close to that. But my stuff is in there, and they built the fence. Tough. So was the reason for not touching this really the reason for you couldn't get your stuff? They'd say, sorry. So they would come up with rules that almost made you break the law. That's how messed up it got. Because you're supposed to be able to help people. And then they'd follow the rules so religiously, you couldn't even help people because of the very rules that were meant to help people. Imagine if some of these principals got together for ties. You know, they're wearing ties around their waist. So let's come up with a rule that it has to be tucked in your shirt and it has to be buttoned. Oh, that's not enough. They're going to start wearing them really like down to here. Let's say that it's got to come right down to the belt. Oh, yeah. Then they're going to come up with these really wild, ugly ties. Well, let's make sure it's only solid colors. And let's pick the colors. Okay. Let's make sure there's a certain width. Because they're going to start wearing really wide ties, look like Bozo the Clown, and we don't want that. So what's the purpose of a tie? To look professional. To be, you know, to look good. And they're going to come up with so many rules and regulations, you're going to be scared to death to wear a tie. Because it's got to be the right length, it's got to be the right color. And then, you know, if somebody doesn't like you, they're going to say, that's the wrong shade of purple. When we said purple, we meant these shades of purple and not that shade of purple. That's how ridiculous it got. And you know, with human nature, that's totally possible. So we got the man with the shriveled hand, and it's the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law. And they were looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, and they are. And they asked, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? The Pharisees are saying, no, the man with the shriveled hand is, I don't want to wait till the end of the weekend. I'm good now. What if Jesus leaves town? We know what he's thinking. He said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you take hold of it and lift it out? Now, the correct answer, of course, is yes. But maybe not. Could you show the video and cut the middle light? I mean the front light. This lamb, sheep, fell in a pit. Maybe this is Sabbath. So Jesus isn't probably thinking of this sheep when he says that, because my guess is you're going to be really busy on the Sabbath with this one. But what did Jesus say? Forgive him 70 times 7. It's like, yeah, you get him out, and then if he jumps in again, you get him out again. Why? Why? Because they matter. How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Your sheep matter. You want to get them out. I mean, you don't want to see a sheep suffering like that, and they're only sheep, and they're valuable to you. How much more valuable are you and I? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, he just says, let me just tell you the way it is. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And Jesus can say that because he's Lord of the Sabbath. And you know they're ticked. Because he's telling them exactly the opposite of what they believe. And Jesus is thinking, which brings you closer to people? See, Sabbath was meant to rest, to cease from work, to think about God, to meditate upon him and his mercies. And you know, when you think about God, when you read scripture, and I don't think reading scripture is work. You love people more. You become more Christ-like. And if you love people more, don't you want to help them? I mean, you know, some people, they see that sheep jumping there again. They're the same way with people. They got what they deserved. Dumb sheep, dumb people. And Jesus is like, no, we're just going to keep going after them and we're going to keep pulling them out. Because when you meditate on God, when you rest in him, when you fully embrace the Sabbath, it is to bring us closer to God. And we're closer to the heart of God. We're closer to wanting to bless people. So then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out and it was completely restored and as sound as the other. Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Jesus cares about the man. Never said, what'd you do to deserve that shriveled hand? Are you good enough to healing? Do you have enough faith today? And faith is important. But he healed him. And so what did the Pharisees do? Praise God, a man who had a shriveled hand, who couldn't work, who couldn't serve God, and their society was more of an outcast. Hallelujah, he's brought whole and made whole. No. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. He heals somebody and they're mad. They've totally missed the boat. That's like the old story of Chuck Smith. And I've told this many times, and I'm going to tell it many times more. Him and his wife were out in Venice Beach in California, and they saw all these lost kids, hippies, on the beach, smoking marijuana, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. And they reached out to them, and they invited them to church, and they got saved. And guess what happened when they came to church? Because they weren't cleaned up yet. They came in their shorts, they came in their sandals, some of them hadn't showered because they just didn't shower a lot. And they came in and they wouldn't sit in the pews. They brought their own pillows and they sat in the front row. And guess what? Just like the Pharisees, some of the people were mad. Now, I'm all into showering, okay? And I think the chairs are there for a reason. But if someone came in the first couple of times and didn't know what's kosher or what's not, you think you'd give them a little break. Now, the goal isn't turn them into suit and tie kind of people. I don't think any of those people probably became suit and tie people overnight. But that's not why we're here, to make suit and tie people. By the way, you need to wear a tie. And they were mad. I mean, these young people were totally lost, doing drugs, immoral, didn't know the book of Genesis from the book of Revelation, and now they're in church, and people are mad. A man had a shriveled hand, and now he's whole, and they're mad. That's totally missing the spirit of the law. Where are we? Where am I? Where are you? Jesus is not against rules. In fact, he gave his disciples rules. He told them how to do certain things. But the purpose is always to advance the kingdom of God, to advance mercy and grace, and not to get so caught up in them that we actually do the opposite. Some of those people were so caught up into church. They're so caught up into wearing ties that when people come in and they don't look just like them, and maybe they smell a little different, we don't want anything to do with them. And I'm not against showering. I'm not against looking nice. You know, totally, honestly, I'm against Hawaiian shirts in the pulpit. That's just me. I have a friend who wears Crocs in the pulpit. You'll never see me wearing Crocs in the pulpit. And I don't look down on him. And he doesn't look down on me. It's about people. Jesus was about people. And those rules, those regulations, those ways of doing things were all about blessing people, not binding them up and making them miserable. Let us always be about mercy and grace, not ignoring what God tells us. He tells us a lot of things and we need to listen. But when we get so caught up in the rules we forget about people, we've missed it. Let us bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and your challenge today to look to the people of God, Lord, not ignoring your word at all, but rather living it to its fullness, to bless others, to bring them into your kingdom. And just as Jesus worked with the disciples and gave them guidelines and rules and told them how to do things, but it was always to bless others and to advance the kingdom of God. Let us be such people, Father. Being about your business for your glory, to bless others, to bring them to salvation in Jesus Christ. We pray this in your holy name. Amen and amen.